I'm Amber.
And I'm Becca.
From cranberries
to cows
and everything in between,
this is Forward Farming.
Hey guys.
Welcome back to Forward Farming.
Becca and I are joined by a very special guest today. You guys might have seen her around on social media talking about her cows. You might have bought some of her fitness apparel because she's got a pretty cute little boutique that she has. You might have seen her as a guest speaker somewhere, or you might have seen some of her fitness plans that she has, or you might have worked with her as a coach. We are very excited today to have Miss Andrea on here today to talk to us about all things that she's doing. She was just saying how busy she was today, and we're very excited that she was able to take some time out of her busy schedule. I know it's calving season, so you're probably up to your eyeballs with things to do. So thanks for hopping on and chatting with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just chatting. I was like, oh, I feel like one season ends and then I'm like, oh, things will slow down. And then it just never does. So it is what it is, but you know.
I think that's a farmer thing. Like, we constantly say that. You think that we would learn by now, but no, we'll just keep saying it.
Right. Like, I know there's seasons where, like, you have a little more free time, but then they, like, overlap and you're like, okay, what's happening? Like, I don't know. I just feel like calving season has been dragging out and I'm just ready for, I don't know, not that I, like, don't want it to end, but also just life, you know. Ready to sleep through the night. That's probably it.
How long is, okay, before we get into questions, why don't you go ahead and just kind of tell us about your life, your background, and what you're up to?
Yeah, absolutely. So I live in Southwest Minnesota. That is where I kind of call home. So if you think of where the three lovely states, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa meet, I'm pretty much right in that spot. It's pretty exciting that I can, you know, hang out in the land of rocks and cows. That's literally where I'm at. So I actually had zero plans of doing what I do now. So the OG plan, I like to say, was to go to vet school. So I had got my undergrad at South Dakota State University, go Jacks. And that was, I mean, the plan was to go to Iowa State. Like, I had my life solidified, or so I thought. And then life had a funny way of being like, oh, surprise, we're not doing that. Right turn, swerve, pivot like 95 times. So through a lot of chaos, and I'm very open about like mental health and all of those things, I really struggled for a long time. And really what got me started sharing online a little bit was the fitness piece of things, just holding myself accountable. I kind of would go home on the weekends because after I didn't get into vet school, I was like, oh, it's a good idea. Let's go spend $30,000 on bred heifers. And I would go home on the weekend and go help with calving. And people were starting to ask me questions before, like, the Instagram algorithm is the way it is now, where you could just like find the explore page. And, you know, we've all been sharing long enough. We know what it's like. I miss those days. And people would ask me questions and I was like, I thought this was common knowledge. Like, I was kind of naive living in the Midwest. Like, everyone or their friend has cows. And I started noticing the gap that I was always told was there, but I did not realize how big it had gotten outside of like the big metro areas. So I started sharing online, graduated from college, had a brief job in feed sales. Turns out I am not a sales rep. I don't want to go visit old cranky farmers and be yelled at. It was not it for me. And I entered entrepreneur life at the age of 21, having no freaking clue what I was doing with my life. And here we are. It's almost 6 years later. So it's been chaos, but I farm with my family and I'm basically a serial entrepreneur, which is why I say I'm so busy all the time. And I'm working on setting boundaries and like having hobbies and things that aren't a business. But yeah, that's the 2024 goal. So yeah, I farm with my family. I talk about cows. I record literally almost everything I do to share that. And yeah, in the free time, I just keep doing farm stuff because I'm addicted. But yeah, that's kind of the method of the madness. It's 85 million things, and we'll get into that. But that's kind of how we got here.
I went to South Dakota once in my life. Well, maybe twice, but South Dakota University. Actually, twice. One time was to visit a friend that was at vet school, and then the other time was ADSA. So obviously that trip I don't remember too much. But it was fun. It was a nice campus. Yeah, I was impressed. It was really nice.
It's a good school. It's a big ag school. So if anyone's listening and needs a college recommendation, that's where I would say to go. It's pretty affordable as well. So there's my little tooth on horn for the Jackrabbits.
Yeah. I think. Go ahead.
I was going to say, does your family just do cattle or are you on the crop side of things as well?
We do crops and cattle. And then with the cattle, we're all the way from cow-calf through the feedlot. So I guess that's kind of unique too, that it's not just one sector with the beef industry. I literally see every single piece of it, which is kind of fun. But as much as I share about the cows, yes, the crops are a big piece, like planting season, everything right now. I just, you know, my heart and soul is the bovine. So that's what you see front and center more than anything, but we're working on it. So.
And then you have goats.
Oh, yeah.
Do the goats have like a purpose or are they like mine where they just are cute and you wanted them?
So originally it was just like, hey, dad, he had had a couple of beers. And I was like, can we get some feeding goats? And he was like, if you can find them like within this county or within like 30 minutes. So I went on our like local classifieds and I found them. And they were actually like Nigerian dwarf fainter crosses. That was the just like I just wanted a couple as like a 14-year-old, I think, at the time. And then my mom and I were like, well, we could get some fainters. We were going to have just a couple kids every year. And then it turned into like 40 kids every spring. So it's kind of like a little mini business plan my mom and I have for fun. We call it our calving season warm up because it's right around Christmas time, New Year's. And kidding, I feel like it's a lot easier and it goes way faster than calving. But mainly we just raise kids for other families. They're really good. I mean, you have goats, you know how fun they are. Like their babies are the cutest freaking thing in the entire planet. So for the most part, it's just like families around us that want two or three kids in their backyard for their kids. And that's how it usually ends up going. So we didn't really plan on making it anything. I don't think we make a lot of money, but it's fun. And they, you know, they clean up the grove and all that good stuff. And obviously they fall over. So it's good shenanigans too.
I'm tired just listening to all, and just like thinking of all the things you have to do. Like, I'm like, I don't even know where to start. Where do you want to start diving into?
Oh, there's so many things I know. We could like, wherever. I don't care.
Do you have any siblings on the farm that help you out? Or is it just kind of you and your dad and mom?
So I have a brother. He doesn't currently do anything around here. His girlfriend's in PT school. So he's kind of just like hanging out, seeing where they're going to end up. I would say like he doesn't have the as big of passion that I have per se, especially when it comes to like cattle in general. So I don't know what that'll look like. He's really good at welding and stuff. So honestly, like when he is around, it's great because things get fixed. And then my husband's around, but he's a full-time farrier. So it's kind of in like the cracks of his day or when we need the extra help that he hangs out. But on a daily basis, it's generally just me, my mom, and my dad, which is kind of a fun dynamic. And I've actually been spending more time with my dad lately, which has been a lot of fun. And we can dive into that, but it's just never a dull moment, to be honest, especially when you bring in like the YouTube piece of things. That's been a whole deal lately.
How?
Side note. So your husband is a farrier.
Oh gosh. Okay.
We're all just going to bombard you. I was going to say, so your husband's a farrier. So he works with hooves, yeah. Right? Does he follow Nate the Hoof Guy on TikTok? Have you seen those videos?
I'm sure he does. And I keep telling him, I'm like, you really should like share. Cause I'm like, I could whip up your content together in like 2 seconds. Like, this is what I do for a living. And it's like a pretty dang good business. And he's so scared of criticism that he will not do it. Like, he doesn't even want me to post pictures of like him trimming our horses. So yeah, he follows them and he'll send me like their videos of like nasty stuff they find. He's like, oh, I saw that the other day. And I'm like, well, you should share it. But he's not the social. He is an in-person social butterfly. I am not an in-person social butterfly, but I'm a social media social butterfly. So we're very opposite because he's like, don't put me on social media. I don't want to be there. And the people love him. So I'm just like, I wish he would do it. But yes, hooves, all that good stuff. That's what he does for a living. And if you didn't know, it smells terrible when he comes home. So fun little tidbit.
I suppose he probably gets pooped on a lot.
Well, it's not even that. It's like man sweat, horse sweat, and then like hooves, especially if they get like wet and thrushy. It's just not it for me. So it's right. Like, I would rather smell like manure than him at the end of the day. I hope he listens to this and hears that. He's going to be like,
Thanks for hyping me up.
Yeah. He's like, it smells like money.
Those are always the videos that show up like when I know it's time to go to bed. It's like, these are my Wine Town videos, because it's just that gentle scraping. It looks like you're carving a coconut. It's just
I know
It's my relaxing ASMR videos.
I know. Yeah, it's a good time. I told him, I'm like, it'd be fun, but he just won't do it. So,
well, he's got an audience here if he ever decides to start. Right.
That's why I was like, I could send you like 5,000 people really fast. Like, they'd all be like, yes. Because whenever I talk, like, if he's on my stories or anything, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I love Nathan. Show Nathan more. And he's like, please, no cameras. Leave me alone all the time. So, like, I could send you the people.
I understand.
You could do it. But, yeah.
Well, someday. Right. He'll come around.
Maybe. Someday.
Becca, how are you doing over there?
Just hanging out on mute. Sophia, she was on FaceTime with her cousins. I was hoping that would keep her busy the whole time. But apparently they couldn't talk. So now she's like, who else can I call, Mom? And I was like, I don't know. So she's probably talking to strangers at this point, but it's fine. She's just got
I feel like all that. Kids need to do that at some point, though. Like, what was that, chat roulette?
Yeah. And then I tried to think, there was some other app that we used, and it was just like you never knew who you were talking to, but then you'd like tell them your age and like your gender and your location.
Is it Omegle?
Yes. Yes. How did we? I mean, and now that seems totally creepy, but. It was normal.
And I find, like, really, like, people, like, there's, like, 90s and 2000, like, TikTokers, you know, and they'll talk about it and they're, like, people had no idea who was on the other end of it. And I'm, like, how terrifying. Like, the world is different than it was when I was a kid. And we were breaking the rules then, like, oof.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Less worse.
So I was going to ask before like we all started talking at the same time, since you started social media, like how has your dad been with it? Does he get like frustrated if you're taking video of stuff or is he pretty cool about it?
So it really has kind of grown and changed a little bit since I started sharing. I don't think in the beginning he ever thought it would turn into anything. When I quit my job, he was like, you got to figure something out. And I was like, oh, I'm figuring it out. And he's like, that's not a solid plan. I was like, watch me, Sterling. Like, I'm an Enneagram 8. I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to figure it out. If I don't, like, I will figure something else out. And he just never really comprehended, I don't think, until the last couple of years. And then, like, building our house, like, how much it actually does pay off. And then, like, me getting different opportunities and speaking and putting myself out there and seeing, like, the hard work pay off. Now he's, like, my number one believer in the entire world. Like, he watches my YouTube videos within minutes, usually, of them being posted. And he's always, like, just in case, air quotes here, there's anything that, like, I need to take out of the video. That's why he tells me he watches them that fast. I'm, like, pretty sure you're just, like, my number one fan. So he was really, like, weird about it. And my dad is very much, like, an awkward man that doesn't ever leave the farm. And he used to just go to, like, our small town bar. Well, that closed now. So now he, like, literally doesn't leave. And he just is such a weirdo in front of the camera, but people love him. And he's starting to come out of his shell more, especially on YouTube. Like, he even filmed a video when we were at the stock show of them hauling manure. Like, I had, like, 30 minutes of my dad talking, even, like, selfie mode. It was portrait style. Wow. It wasn't landscape. I was shocked when I came home and I got to edit it. And I've never laughed so hard in my life because he just was like, he's just a fella. Like, I never got along. Not that I didn't get along with him, but I would say we're much closer now that I do farm next to him every day. And he obviously, like, I'm not a mechanically inclined person either. Like, I've been learning. So that's been fun. I had to kind of, like, remind him to take the temper down a notch, have some patience, slow down a little bit, like farm dad, you know, don't yell at me if I'm holding the flashlight in the wrong spot type of situation, and teach me. So it's been really fun. But he's always like, if I'm gone, like I was in Wisconsin the other weekend and he was like, you missed out on some really good content. And I was like, well, you could have recorded it. Like, he's always thinking of new things. He has ideas. He sends me audios and has song ideas all the time. Like, it's really crazy what has evolved over the last 5.5 years since I started sharing. But, you know, in the beginning, he was so worried about what everything looked like. Our farm is not like the most well-kept thing. We have livestock. Like, it's not like it's just a crop farmer, right? Becca knows. And, you know, he was so worried about that. I'm like, this is real life. So he wants to have that out there to show people that not everybody has perfect equipment, perfect setup all the time type of thing. So that was really long-winded, but he went from being like, don't record me, to an awkward man that puts himself out there now. So not really sure where that happened, but I did.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's hard for like other generations, I think, to even comprehend what social media can do. But honestly, if you think about it, it's like crazy what, I mean, did you ever in your wildest dreams think that social media would be what it is now today? Because we couldn't have even predicted that. Like growing up, yeah, we had our chat rooms and that was about it.
Right. Yeah, I never ever thought so. I would say like the first time I started getting like different partnerships too, and he would get like the benefit of it, that's when he was like, okay, I'm a believer, like straight up, like we got our shoot and like different things like that. And now he's like, well, you could go get me a tractor. I'm like, it's not how this works, but like, take a chill pill, maybe someday. Like, he just actually had to see the success on the other side to actually believe it, to be honest. But that's definitely the age mm-hmm. thing. And I would have never thought either 6 years ago, you know, I would have been like, what? You're funny.
Right. How did you get involved in public speaking? I know that's hard for some people, but where did you find that motivation? Because I feel like you need to have that original drive to come up with like a presentation. What was your kind of go-to message, I guess, when you pitch yourself to speak at an event? Or do people come find you because of some message that you're portraying on social media? What's kind of your in that sense?
That's another thing. Like, if you were told me 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, that I would be wanting to speak in front of people, I'd have been like, mm-mm. Like I said, I'm an introvert in person, extrovert on social media, which doesn't make any sense. But I could talk on my stories mm-hmm. all day. Don't make me talk to people at an actual business, because I'd be like, oh, I don't like this. I got asked to speak on a panel and talk about just like beef industry and how to advocate for it. And that's one of my biggest passions. And I really believe if anyone is interested in speaking, panels are a really great place to start, because it gives you the chance to get in front of people without having to prepare. Because we all did like really embarrassing speech class back in the day where it was absolutely terrible and the topics were not fun because you didn't really pick them. It was like, give a eulogy for someone in your life. I'm like, why are we practicing? This is like super morbid. I don't like it. Like, I remember that senior year, not it. High school is already bad enough and we added that to the plate. But when you're talking about topics that you're incredibly passionate about, it's really easy to actually like prepare yourself a little bit. And I'm not going to lie, like I still have a heart rate of like 170 when I'm on stage. I still like feel like I'm going to poop my pants up there, but I admit that because as soon as I like admit to them that like I'm a human and I'm nervous, it goes away and everyone laughs and like you break the ice and it's great. But I got started with a panel and then I got asked to do, I think it was like a small keynote for like 30 women. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Like, that's a good place to start, to be honest, because I didn't feel like I was truly speaking to a crowd. I felt like I was having kind of a casual conversation. And my keynote now that I do for the most part really probably came just from having a conversation with an event that was interested in having me about what has really led me to be where I am today. And confidence, growth, things like that. You know, just my story in general. My keynote is honestly my story. And then probably my top tips of encouragement to pave your own path and grow that confidence and speak up for yourself and ask questions and, you know, inspiring other women in agriculture, because that's a big passion of mine, as well as advocating for ag in general. And I can pivot that depending on what the event's looking for. But the biggest thing now is once you start speaking and you do a good job and you start posting like the results of how it went or just like little snippets, the word gets out there. That's essentially kind of what happens. And if you remind people of it and you share that you do that here and there, a couple of speaking events can turn into more. And that's just kind of where it's been at. I don't know. I've never actually like pitched anybody to speak because I don't like look up events. I guess I've been like, hey, if you need somebody, let me know. But most of it's come, I just think, from social media because I share so much. And then I've been open and honest when I do go speak, like, hey, I do this, let me know, type of thing. And I have it on my website, so that helps too. But I never would have thought, and it still makes me like literally feel like I'm gonna poop my pants on stage every single time. But it's like I'm sharing my story. So it's not like I have to do this huge, you know, I'm not sharing about like sustainability of agriculture and having to like put all these stats out here. I would never do that to begin with. Like, I'm not, I'm not going to memorize stuff. That's not how I've ever been. But when it comes from the heart, it's much easier to show up. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I would never be able to speak in front of 10 people, 100 people, whatever that looks like, when you're passionate about it, super easy. Becca could go talk about cows all day. I know it. She'd be like, here we go. Let's do it. Like, Amber could do it with cranberries. She'd be like, yeah, cranberries, they're grown here. She could teach everybody, you know? It just has to be a passion thing. So, but panels is probably where I would like suggest and offer it if there's events locally or you're part of a group. You know, there's just great opportunities to see if you like it, because you'll know in that moment if you actually like speaking.
Are you involved in any like beef? What's the word I want to talk? What's the word? Like committees or organizations like that?
Check off or
that kind of.
Farm Bureau or stuff like that?
Yeah, there's a couple that I am a part of. I guess they haven't really been like a priority for me as far as like time goes, because we all know that I do 85 other things. But like there's the National Cattle Women. There's that I'm part of. And then there was a top of the class program through the Minnesota Beef Council. That was a really great program if your state has that, that actually helps prepare for interviews as well. So that's one thing we went through is how to actually do good interviews if you are going to promote agriculture, because when questions come and they're hard, how do you pivot that or shift into it if you're not comfortable? That was huge. And then obviously just like promoting beef in general. So I've done a few things, and like Farm Bureau, I'm part of that, but I'm not super heavily involved just because I can't add it to my plate at this moment. Yeah, that's really where we're at. 4-H and FFA, obviously I have like connections and stuff there, but a lot of it has come just from sharing on social media more than anything.
Yeah, I always recommend people, if they have the ability and access, to do some sort of media training through whatever section of agriculture that they're in, because you never know, like, when a media outlet could reach out to your farm and want to do an interview about something that's going on in your industry or not. And it's always great to know how to answer those tough questions or redirect the question and pivot it into a positive light. So if you're able to get involved in something, even if it's Farm Bureau or, you know, whatever sector, go ahead and do that, because it'll save your butt every once in a while. So that's really cool. I'm glad that you're doing that stuff. That's really important.
It was super helpful.
Let's shift gears again 85 more times to the fitness side. The fitness side of you, because I love watching all of your stories and just the diversity that you share and just lighting so many fires underneath women's butts. I think this is a really cool one to talk about. So how did you get involved in fitness, and how has that changed for you over the years? Because I know everybody's relationships with fitness have changed drastically as the years go on. So how did you start, and how did you get to where you are today?
So, flashback to like 16-year-old Andrea. She did not work out. She thought it was like solely punishment. It was not going to be a thing. Like, cardio, absolutely not. I only did it if I wanted to like look decent in my prom dress, or like, you know, yo-yo diet type life. Did not have a good relationship with fitness or like health, confidence, my body in general. And I'd always been told that with anxiety and being diagnosed at like age 13 in depression, that fitness helps with mental health. And I never truly gave it an effort because I always had that really just toxic relationship with it. And then I went to college, and then you figure out that college can be an adjustment, because all of a sudden you go from being a good high school kid to like, oh, no mom and dad. Wow. Guess I can do all of these, you know, not things I shouldn't do till I'm 21. And I gained a lot of weight my first semester, felt like absolute garbage because I ate Chick-fil-A every day and cookie dough at 4 o'clock in the morning while I studied. And I just didn't have any sort of coping mechanism for stress. So it really wasn't like the weight I had, you know, put on more than anything. It was the fact that I was not taking care of myself or prioritizing myself in any way. It was hang out with friends, do stupid stuff, and go to class and try to pass all of my classes and get good grades for vet school. And I actually got started with fitness through Beachbody. That's where it started. My boyfriend at the time actually got me to sign up. I started with a country line dance workout. And for someone that hates working out, it was literally perfect. And you're laughing right now because you can imagine me dancing to country music in my living room as a 19-year-old in college. It was great. But I actually really started falling in love with moving my body. And then from there, I started doing some like lifting programs. I started actually going to the gym every once in a while and found out that lifting weights is my home place. So fast forward, I worked out through a lot of life stuff happening. That was really kind of what kept me grounded. And that was my business for a long time. And I got burnt out after 4 years of it. And I took a step back, shifted, made some business changes in the summer of 2021 and left Beachbody. Had to figure out how to find joy in fitness again outside of chasing results. So I actually have kind of had like the highs and lows with the journey. And it took me a very long time to figure out what I liked, what didn't feel like punishment again, what actually fits in with my lifestyle. Because at the same time, I was getting more involved at the farm. So I didn't have an hour, 2, 3 hours that I could just like do whatever I wanted. I had to be a little bit more strategic about it. Some days I still got all the time in the world. Some days I'm like, I have literally 30 minutes that I got to like slam pre-workout and get it in. Figured out that lifting 4 days a week is my jam. I like to also go for runs randomly, just like out of nowhere. And started toying with the idea of getting my personal training certification. Randomly pulled the trigger and did it at the very end of 2023 because I had just been doing so much like self-research, figuring out what works for me. I'd been actually like making workouts for a handful of friends for almost a year and being like, do you like them? What do you guys think? Like, how are you feeling? And they were that confidence boost to do the dang thing. So I went through over like the 2 weeks during Christmas and got myself certified. Launched my program with the goal of, you know, helping women in agriculture make their day-to-day life easier. Not necessarily go after like looks and all the, you know, on scale BS necessarily, but to feel your best and be able to pick up calves and climb out of equipment. And like, I can get in this whole nugget of like stability, mobility, and flexibility. That's a big thing too. Of like, how many times do you walk and twist your ankle on like nothing? Lack of ankle stability is a big problem in agriculture and just the whole topic. Watching my dad have a lot of like back problems and hip problems, I was like, okay, something's got to change. So here we are now on this third round of my 6-week fitness foundation. And it's been really, really, really great to get the feedback, make some changes, and see how much my programs are actually working for so many people. Because I was like, well, it works for me and like 4 people. Well, it was like 10. But what is it going to look like for everyone else? So that's the journey, but it's been highs and lows, and I've like fallen in love with fitness and fallen out of love with fitness. And here we are back in a place that I feel good about it.
If there are people out there that want to reach out to you for training or for your 6-week program, what's the best way to contact you? Do you have an email, a website? What's the best way?
All of it is linked on my page on Instagram if you're there. Otherwise, if you just go to like mythatfitadvocate.com, you'll be able to find the information that you need. I have a wait list because I only open enrollment like every 6 weeks or so, just so I have the groups going. But you can reach out through email or however you want. All that contact info is on my website or on any of my social platforms.
So. I think it's so important that I love what you said about how you kind of had to find what you enjoy doing, because if you're not enjoying doing it, you're obviously not going to stick with it. So I think I found that too. Like I ended up getting the Peloton app and I love it because some days I feel like doing yoga or like, I feel like doing Pilates and like, I have a really hard time sticking to certain things and like, you know, a specific workout plan. And I did do yours the first week. I think I made it like halfway through because I just suck at life, but I loved it. Cause it was like, it was exercises that you felt the burn from them, but you also knew why you were doing it. Like you said, carrying buckets and, climbing over fences, like stuff like that, just to be able to kind of get that foundational, workout in to build those muscle groups is so helpful. So, you know, if anyone is looking for, and to all age or not age groups, all like levels of fitness can do it too, because you can get bigger weights if it's too easy for you, or, you know, just use your body weight if you can't do weights yet. So it's just super beneficial for me. But yeah, I think it's really important when people are like starting their fitness journey or even just trying to move their body more that they find something that they enjoy doing because you'll stick with it.
Right. If you hate every minute of it, there's no amount of like discipline or accountability or motivation, because motivation is BS, that's ever going to get you to show up. So if you don't like yoga, cool, me either. If you don't like cardio, let's not do cardio. But find what is actually enjoyable at least half the time, because some days you don't want to show up. And if you don't have like specific fitness goals in mind where you're like, I want to, you know, look XYZ, do what Becca does. Change it up every day. Like that's a mental health boost there. The only time that you really need to like care about having a set structure is if you have specific goals in mind. Outside of that, moving your body is moving your body. It's huge, which is 98% of people. So move your body, go for walks, go do the cardio, do whatever, chase your kids. Just move your dang body.
Preach. Oh, back off. So how did that lead you into starting Simply Empowered? You co-own that, and that's a little fitness clothing boutique that you have. What, why? Like, do you not have enough things going on?
I feel like, so I started that before I got my personal training certification and before I was doing a lot of speaking and like business consulting and all of that type of stuff. And it was kind of just a conversation I had with one of my really good friends at the time that I'd met through Beachbody. And we both always had an idea in the back of our mind to start an online activewear boutique. We just never like did it ourselves. And then one day she's like, you want to do it with me? And I was like, all right, let's do it. You know, like we're really good friends. We don't live anywhere in this, or we live an hour from one another, a little over an hour, but we're in a different stage of life in a different like industry. She's not a farmer. She's not in agriculture. She lives in rural Iowa. So you got that going on, and she's a mom. So we are in very like different stages of life. So it's been a nice connection point to keep our friendship going when we're in such different stages where we just don't understand for each other. And just a way to empower women in another avenue for, you know, like finding confidence in themselves that's not related to crappy clothing or Instagram models that are like size 2 looking perfect all the time. That was our goal. And then obviously like make it affordable, because Lululemon is nice, but I'm not paying $100 and some for leggings that I'm gonna trash accidentally because I have to pull a calf. So yeah, it was just a random like, hey, I've always thought about doing this. Me too. And then we just kind of did it right after COVID, and here we are.
That's, God, again, I'm just tired listening.
I did, like, we have had some, like, honest conversations about it, because I'm like, something's going to come off my plate. So we're going for it and kind of delegating. And I, like, we've had the conversation a little bit on Instagram too, but I have help. I don't do all of this by myself. We're working on, like, outsourcing, because I am in these moments now that I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, do I have any fun? Like, do I have a social life? So I want to make sure like that's out there, that I'm not running the entire show behind the scenes by myself. I have a lot of help, a lot of help.
That's so helpful too. Cause I mean, again, we talk about this all the time, being in a rural community, it's so hard to feel that support when there's literally nobody around. So the fact that you have that, I think can be, I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, it looks like, well, not obvious to outsiders, but you know, it just looks like you're thriving so well. I mean, you couldn't be doing all this unless you had the help. So that's amazing. Yeah. I'm really happy that you have that support. So you have the energy to do all this stuff.
I know. I'm like, I need to give some more responsibilities to other people some days, but it took me a really long time to even like give up control of a lot of the things that I do, because I like to have it done a certain way and I like to do it myself to make sure it's done. But as soon as I was like, I had to have a mental breakdown, to be honest. That's usually when all these things actually happen, is I have to get myself forced into a corner and things get like, shit's gonna get real to make it happen. As soon as I delegated just like 3 things off my plate, I was like, I'm doing more. Like that was, it was life changing, and it was so beneficial to my mental health as well as my relationships, especially like with my husband, because I had more time. I wasn't trying to work 24/7. I wasn't as stressed. And you can ask him, like, I'm a nicer human when I hire the people to help me then when I do it by myself. And he first was like, you're going to pay somebody to like do stuff for you? And I was like, yeah. And now he's like, you should pay them more. So it's just been, yeah, life-changing and fantastic and great at the same time.
For folks out there who, sorry, who are just kind of like juggling so many different things, how did you go about finding people to outsource some of your tasks to? Because I feel like that's such a big responsibility to hand off one of your projects that you've worked so hard on to someone else that you might not know that well. How was that transition for you, and how did you go about finding someone that you trust?
That was the big thing. I was like, like, I have a social media business. Like, if I give someone access to my Instagram, they could ruin my life. I am terrified of being hacked. Like, that's why I got the little check mark, because I was like, well, Instagram will help me, maybe, if somebody tries to get my account. You know, and just all of, like, access to my emails and everything that's really important. So I actually reached out to one of my best friends, which, strange enough, I met her through Instagram. So, like, technically probably a little sketchy yet. But she's an Enneagram too. So if you know the Enneagram, she's a helper. And she always was like, how can I help? Like, she'd send me content ideas. She'd be like, let me just make this real for you, like little things. And I sat there and I was like, if I were to hire someone to delegate these tasks to run my business on the back end, like 25% of it, most likely, who would I actually trust to do a good job and do it like better than I would do it? And I was like, hey, have you ever thought about like doing some virtual assistant type work? Would you be interested in that? Like, you can say no. Like, don't say yes just because you're a two and you want to help me. And she actually had been kind of been thinking about it. She wants to be a stay-at-home dog mom. So I was like, let me tell you what, I'll hire you. I'll give you business advice. We'll get you like rolling. And we started small, and it was fun because I like hang out with her and we get together, and she lives in Wisconsin. That's why I come visit you guys sometimes every once in a while. And gave her a little bit more and was like, well, like, I'm paying my best friend to like help me with my business. And that's where we started. I also hired a cleaning lady that actually also met through Instagram. I don't know why this is such a thing for me, but she moved back to our area. She's originally from down here and moved back from the Twin Cities. And I like briefly mentioned in my stories about how I would like really need to hire a cleaning lady. And she was like, I actually love cleaning houses, and I've thought about it. I'm like, all right, let me think about that. My mom hired her first when I was living with my mom. Then I was like, when I build my house, I'm gonna hire you. Here she is. She comes tomorrow. Thank goodness. And then I also hired Mary Faber as my bookkeeper at the end of the year, because tax prep, I was like, I am not spending 2 days a quarter, 3 days a quarter trying to catch up, because I just wouldn't do it. which has also been great, because now I have, you know, monthly reports and everything. So that's the main way that I've probably delegated the most. Apparently meeting people through Instagram is my go-to, which is you too. But yeah, I don't know. That's basically. So if you're looking for a VA, my VA is the bomb diggity. I have trained her. Fun little tidbit. I'll put that information out there. She's got my life. She could mess it up. But yeah, it's a good time. So I don't know about that. Like, it just like randomly one day, I think I was like bawling and sitting in like my bedroom somewhere, and Ethan's like, you can't do this anymore. And I was like, I know, but I could like save the money if I did it all myself. Like, that whole thing happening. And here we are. I write the checks and pay somebody else. That's the big thing is supporting another entrepreneur's business. That's huge for me. So that was the extra boost. I was like, I'm supporting someone local, small business, you know, type of thing. I wish I would have had that support when I started, you know, type of situation. But
everyone always says like you have to spend money to make money, but to actually go through and do it is hard. Right, yeah. So that's awesome that you found someone that you trust. And honestly too, that kind of like understands agriculture, because, you know, a lot of VAs probably are not going to understand farm life and like stuff like that. So it's probably a little bit harder to find someone that would do it. Also, shout out to Mary. She doesn't do our books on the regular, but she helped me set up my QuickBooks, and it was life-changing, because QuickBooks is so confusing, and like, to customize it with all the categories, oh my gosh.
I tried so many times to use it, and finally, I think it was like the day before Christmas, I messaged her, or like emailed her, I was like, I need your help. Again,
Merry Christmas, you're hired.
Then we hopped on a call and she was like, I'll get your life together for you. And I was like, perfect, because I can't do it anymore, because I was doing like my That Fit Advocate stuff, which went from being like two things to 85 million things. And then you have the farm stuff. And then I had like Nathan's stuff. And I was like, I can't. Like, I can't have a full-time job, farm on top of things, and try to be a bookkeeper.
And she enjoys it. So it's like, right. You know, if you don't like it, outsource it.
I thought it would be like $1,000 or $2,000 a month, which I still probably would have paid. And I was like, this is not like, I can pay her the couple hundred dollar bills. She can do all of that. And then I also like, our banker the other day, we were getting our construction loan rolled over to a mortgage. They needed like a monthly report of our like business stuff because we're self-employed. I would have never had that up to date. I wouldn't have had her. I was like, I just got that email like 2 weeks ago. Absolutely. Like forward it to her. And I was like, bam. I'm so glad. That was the perfect push I needed to do it. So hire the bookkeeper. It's life-changing.
What do you think the future looks like for you? I mean, do you have goals? Do you are you just kind of like flying by the seat of your pants?
Like us.
Yeah. See yourself 5 years from now.
Huh? I feel like if we've gathered anything from this conversation is that we're fine by the seat of our pants over here because we've been like left swerve, pivot, right swerve, stop, reverse this entire time, which is perfect. And I think everyone will have a good time listening to this. I have to have goals, so I have something in mind. And I'm very data and numbers driven. So I do like to progress. Obviously, like I have the financial things and like the house was a big part of that for a long time to hold me accountable. Now, after being, I guess, in hustle mode for 5 years and not knowing kind of what life looks like when you're 22, 23, like you, unless you're all of a sudden having kids at that age, like you're not having your life together as much as you are when you get closer to 30. And I'm at the point now where things are much more in perspective of what's truly important. And I think I've hustled enough that I'm going to not take my foot off the gas, but like slow down just a little bit with the pace and live life and enjoy life a little bit more. I'm learning to say no to things and set better boundaries. I've always thought that I've said no, but I have said no to like little things and still taken on the big things. And then I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself? So 2024 is the goal of obviously like still pursuing business things, but also giving myself that 20% of time for things I love that are not a business. So hobbies, time with my husband, time with friends is a big thing. And then obviously like my end goal, to be honest, is to share what I want when I want without having all of the like time crunchy type stuff, especially as we transition with the farm. I know that I won't be able to keep up with what I'm doing if I'm literally farming full time, to be honest. Like, I still have flexibility, especially in different seasons. So I would love to honestly just like film my days, edit my YouTubes, post on stories like I want to, and farm. That's end goal. So subscribe to my YouTube, homies. I just have really liked it over there too. Like long form content, I feel like there's so much more educational, like education stuff that I can do in general and just share day-to-day life to create that connection with people, you know, to show them what happens on a real life farm. It's never gonna be the same. It's gonna be a shit show most days, to be honest. So yeah, I don't know, more cows probably.
But, long story short, I just want more cows.
Yeah, I mean, it's just more cows. Land would be cool. I don't know, I'm in the like, I need to figure out what I truly want now that I've kind of hit the big goal of like the house. That was a big thing for a long time, was to get out of the whole farmhouse and not have to, you know, unthaw water lines and unthaw the dog water at, you know, December 4th. And then like we expanded the farm, so that'll keep happening, but I just want to enjoy life a little bit more than the hustle mode, because it's been a thing for a long time. So
yeah, I think based off of everything you've just said, you deserve a little bit of a break and time to just
brain that. What's
brain needs to be like, chill for a second.
You just go like exist as a human and not work for like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Please. You're making me anxious just thinking about it.
I had a rule this year that I would have 2-3 hobbies and I would not turn them into a business. So far I've held myself accountable to that. We're 4 months in, which is good. So
Take it and run.
And asking for more help, like I've been delegating more stuff. It's great. It's been helpful. But
Okay, Andrea, where is the best place for people to find you on social media?
Honestly, I mean, you could find me on pretty much every app that there is, which I told myself in 2023 I was going to give up a platform. Turns out I just gave my VA to just like rock one of them for me. Instagram is probably my home base, so that is still my love language as much as the app changes and the algorithm sucks and all of, you know, we could complain about that all day. Instagram's home base, stories every day. And then TikTok is where you can find the rated R version of me if you're interested in that. It's pretty exciting. And if you want the long form day in the life content, YouTube. And if you're on Facebook, it's over there. But if you want to see me real and raw the most, probably on Instagram. That's my home place. So.
And we will tag all of your information down in the show notes below. So if you're not following her already, go check those out. Becca, do you want to do some rapid fire questions before we let her go?
I would love to.
Should I be right now?
Yes. That you know, congratulations, by the way, you got a Quick Trip by you. I'm very happy for you. So when you're walking into Quick Trip, what are you grabbing?
It depends on the time. I don't know, like, I'm still in awe of Quick Trip, a real thing. Like, every time I walk in there, I feel like I have to do like a 5-minute tour and I don't need to. Especially when I go to like a different one, I'm like, what do their bathrooms look like? I don't know. Like, it just is.
They're all clean.
Great. They're usually all good. Like, there's usually like 95 million stalls. You're not going to have to wait. It's fantastic. I really have been on like a chicken tender kick lately. I love their chicken tenders. I don't know. That's a thing. Eventually, I'll probably be sick of them. And then the little like snack boxes are my favorite. I usually grab a Celsius because I always need caffeine. And then anything that's like fun. I like to try their like different random things, like their new milk flavor. I was like, got to try that. Even if I only drink like this much of it and Nathan has the rest of it, he'll be happy. Different smoothies and stuff. And I always check the app because if they have a different deal, I'm like, might as well try it. You know, it's a good little incentive. But usually I have to like walk around and then I grab like 9 things. So. It just depends what I'm feeling that day, to be honest. So, can't go wrong.
How was the new milk? I looked at the nutrition label on it and my gestational diabetes like flared up and was like, oh, don't you even look at this.
I know. I was like, I should not have looked at that because I was like,
oh, diabetes.
PTSD. Can't have that much. It was really like, it's very sweet. So it does taste like the real deal. So I definitely wouldn't be like chugging it, to be honest. I think we still have some in our fridge of the, I don't know if it's like a little quart size. It's smaller than a quart, maybe a quart. I don't know. That I brought home. And Nathan really liked it. But then he looked at the label too. And he, like, 6'5" man, doesn't care. And he was like, damn. It was good. But I definitely would just drink like chocolate milk, to be honest, over that. But.
Okay. You walked us right into this next question. I know what you are.
I knew this.
I know who you are. What are you? What are you? Are you a green or a brown cat?
Oh, well, obviously, you have to be the ones on the whole milk department. So figure it out.
Thank you. My work here is done.
I mean, I'll drink both of them, but if I'm.
Yeah, they're both good. It's not like green cap is bad, but brown cap's better.
They're both good.
They are good.
All right, before Amber starts crying, cheese curds, fresh or fried?
I don't know because we, like, don't have real cheese curds here, to be honest. Like, do you guys call, like, bar food, are they cheese balls or are they cheese curds? Serious question.
Cheese curds.
They are cheese balls. That is what they are in Minnesota. In case you're wondering, I have this debate with my best friend all the time. She's like, no, the little, like, orange puffs. Cheese balls. No. Cheese balls at a bar that are fried, usually. They're like rounder. Those are cheese balls. I usually like the, if I'm going to have curds, I guess, they're going to be fried. But that's just like my,
it's only because you're
clever.
Yeah. You don't have access to fresh. It's fine.
I mean, we do have Culver's. Like, those are pretty dang good. But
yeah.
Bar cheese balls, that's where it's at. If anyone is listening to this and they're from Minnesota or South Dakota, they're gonna be like, yes.
My favorite Honey Boo Boo quote was always when she said, I wish I had an extra finger so I could grab more cheese balls. And that's honestly my motto in life.
Same. Yeah.
All right, one more, Amber. Let's hear it.
Okay, since you brought up Culver's,
oh gosh,
you're going to go get some custard. What's your go-to order?
I like to switch it up, which is kind of not something I would have ever thought when I was, you know, like 5 years ago, I'd have been like, it's always going to be like a caramel anything, because I'm a caramel girl. But it depends on the day. I'm all about the, like, plain vanilla is great. You have the caramel, you have the chocolate, cookie dough. I don't know. I wouldn't be unhappy with anything you bring me, to be honest, which is interesting to think about now. But it's usually that's probably like a caramel anything, to be honest. That's like Nathan will get me caramel ice cream of any sort and I'm good to go. So.
Good man. I think you're the first person I've ever heard that's just like, yep, just give me caramel.
Yeah, it's like my favorite thing. Just drizzle it in caramel, mix it in, put it on top. I don't care.
Well, I feel like you definitely deserve some caramel ice cream, custard, whatever, pretty soon because, girl, take a break.
I feel like you caught me in a day that my mind is like 85 million miles an hour at the same time, which didn't help any of the chaos that happened in this. But yes, we're working on it. You should have talked to me 6 months ago or a year ago. I would have been even more chaotic. So I think I'm just figuring out what I love the most, to be honest, and what lights my soul on fire more than anything. So that's been helpful.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, don't stop until you figure that out, because that's a big, yeah, that's where growth happens.
Right. Absolutely. You got to challenge yourself. And it's been good to try new things and really figure out, like, this serves me, this doesn't, you know, type of deal. So,
yeah. Awesome. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for joining us. If you guys are not following her, go make sure to check her out on all the platforms that fit Advocate. You can follow Amber at Cranberry Chats. I am over at Becca Hilby. And of course, the podcast page is at Forward Farming podcast on all the things as well. So if you haven't, also leave us a rating and review. We would like that. We haven't gotten one in a while. We kind of cry about it, but it's fine.
Let me just go.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Not to call anyone out, Andrea. But we really appreciate seeing them coming in and the messages that we get to, just to know that you guys are listening and stuff. If you ever feel like, you know, throwing us up on your story and tagging us, we'd love to see that too. So thank you all so much for listening every week, and we will catch you next week.